Okay, welcome everybody. This is the Gustavus City Council's regular work session. It's August 3rd, 5:30. Madam Clerk, can I have a roll?
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Here.
Councilmember Warner?
Here.
Councilmember Owens?
Here.
Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Mayor Cassipet?
Here.
Councilmember Clark?
Here.
Councilmember Vander Zanden?
Here.
Okay, all members are present.
Okay, thanks. Again, this is our regular work session, getting ready for our regular meeting next week. First on the agenda is going to be our approval of minutes. I've reviewed them. They look pretty good. If anybody has other comments, please get them into Karen as soon as you can. Vice Mayor Cannamore was going to read our vision statement before I get started. Sorry. Oh, Mike Taylor was. Okay, I'm sorry, Mike.
It would have been just as nice to hear from Brittany, I'm sure. our vision statement says, we envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community relations or traditions.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Like I said, any changes to the minutes or edits to the minutes, get them to Karen by Wednesday. But I looked at them and Tom looked at them, they look good. Didn't have any requests for agenda changes. And we're just gonna jump right into our committee and staff reports. I'm gonna turn it over to Incident Commander Travis Miller to give us our fire department COVID-19 up.
Hello, thank you. I just want to give you a real quick thing that if people didn't see or didn't catch that email that I sent out today with the new numbers and data that we've got, 555 people have come in through our interstate travel tent. Timmy's big top tent over there at the airport. So we've been working really hard at following up on paperwork and doing that whole thing. So 55% of the people that have come in through the state or through that tent through the state program have come in with negative tests within 72 hours. And very few have decided not to test and quarantine. As our numbers have shown through the state or through our testing numbers that search does. We've tested 244 people within between the two spots, not including the 30 people that showed up to the asymptomatic testing on Saturday. There's 6 tests out there, 237 negative results. We've had 2 positive cases in Gustavus. One of those was a person who tested prior to coming into Alaska, was waiting for his results to come in while he was quarantining here, and then came up positive, quarantined until he was a newly recovered case as of like a couple days ago. And he is back already at home as far as I understand. So those are the numbers that have come out. Everybody's aware of that the governor made an announcement not too long ago changing the is going to have changes to mandate 10. The only real things that I know about that, because the guidance isn't out in any of our meetings and isn't going to be out until probably early next week, is that all of our point of entry stuff is going digital. So I'm looking at buying a bunch of iPads and stuff because we have to be able to scan all those forms. They're no longer going to be printed on paper. That you have to have a negative test within 72 hours if you are a non-resident to come into the state of Alaska. No results pending. We don't know what the penalties or enforcement or anything outside of that. And that the only testing will be available to Alaska residents coming from out of state. That's all we've got so far. Hopefully here soon we'll have more stuff on how all of that changes. I have been doing a lot of talking and pre-planning for what's going to happen and talking to lodges. But most of the lodges are still going to be operating into the beginning of September, by mid-September, and some of them even are done as early as mid-August. So for the next month, we still have this. Our Alaska Airlines flight is the 24th, but my plan is to extend this contract to just make sure that we hit all those private jets still coming in and still have a couple people on the payroll to be able to meet those people and make sure that this is effective in logging the people coming into our town from out of state and figuring out where it goes next on the testing and all of that. So I'm just trying to stay one step ahead, which is all we always know is impossible with the governor and how he puts out his information. So that's it for COVID stuff at this time, unless you guys got questions.
Okay, thank you, Travis. Council, any questions for Travis? Go ahead, Sean.
Hi, Travis. I was wondering if we will be able to get the statistics for the clinic. Will that be coming through you at any time in the future?
Yes, pretty much. By the next time I put out data, those numbers will just be thrown right into that data set. But what I can tell you is 30 people tested. So if we do get a positive case out of that, we will know shortly. Within,
thank you.
You know, three to 9 days or so.
Okay. Any other questions for Travis? Okay. Doesn't seem to be any more questions for Travis. We're moving on now to the DRC. I'm not sure we have I'm not sure Paul's on right now, but we'll have a report from him at a regular meeting. I think we'll also have reports from GVA and the Rookery for their year-end expenses and progress reports. Those will be on the agenda as well. I think, Phoebe, did you have anything that you wanted to bring us up to speed for Treasurer's Report or anything today? Okay, we're good. And then, so that brings us to Tom. Tom, you want to go ahead and bring up what you had to talk
about? Yes, thank you, Mayor. Good evening. So I'm providing these weekly reports as the CARES Act grant review team goes through the applications weekly. What we have in front of us here was the first review table that went to the mayor with recommendations and comments from the review team. He looks at what we've reviewed in our recommendations and then makes a decision on whether to approve or deny And what we have there is the first week. I sent out an email with a table for the second week. If this is working out okay for the council, I'll continue to do it this way. But if there's any feedback on any improvements or changes you'd like to see in this reporting, please let me know. I'd be happy to provide as much information as you would like. You can either provide that tonight or send me an email, however you would like to do it. The other item with our CARES Act funding is we still have some funds left in our first installment that we have to expend in order to qualify for the subsequent installment, which is $125,000. If the council has any ideas on how they would like to proceed with that, if that would be a work session, maybe a second round of small business grants, ideas in ways that we could start forming a plan to utilize those funds. Remember that we have to have the recipients utilize those funds by the end of the year. So, planting a seed, hopefully we can talk about how we want to spend these funds more later, or if you have ideas tonight, I'm happy to write those down as well. So are there any questions or comments on the CARES Act grant program?
Mike, your hand's up. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, Tom, thanks for that report. It, as I recall, we decided to split that first tranche of money evenly across the estimated number of businesses that would apply, and so we got the same amount for everybody. What if we were to just disperse the remainder of that evenly across the ones that were approved the first time around? That's my suggestion. Over.
Okay, thanks, Mike. I'll write that down, and if I get any others, I'll put them all together and send that out to the council and ask for some feedback on that. Does that sound okay? Okay, the next item I had has to do with
Hold on a minute, Tom. Susan had a question on the CARES Act stuff before we go on. Sorry.
No problem.
Go ahead. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I would support having another special session so where we could spend some actual time focusing on what we want to do next. I think the meetings that we've had regarding the CARES Act fund distribution so far have been pretty successful. So I would support having a special meeting to dig in and talk about it.
Okay, thanks, Susan. I'll add that to the list for the email. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, thanks, okay, Tom. I had one thought too. This is Cal. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I had one more thought. You know, in the past, we've talked about relief for individuals. I think if there's some money available, and especially if there's money that could be left on the table, I don't want to do that. I would like to explore maybe this individual relief idea as well. Even if it's only $200 or $300 per resident, to me that means a lot to some folks. Especially if we don't have a use for the money right now, I'd like to explore the idea of doing that.
Okay, terrific. Added that to the list. Thank you, Mayor. Okay, so the next item is the administrative librarian position. Councilmember Warner wanted to have a discussion about the library operations. So I'll pass that over to Councilmember Warner, if that's okay, Mayor.
Yep, that'll be fine. Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, gentlemen. I guess we've had something of a little miscommunication here about this. At our last month general meeting on the 13th, the city administrator asked if any of the council members would be willing to be on a hiring committee for the library position. And if so, contact the mayor. So a couple days later, I wrote to the mayor on the 16th and said, I'd be happy to be on the hiring committee. And also, do we want to take a pause and think about, are we, if the building is not open and the position is vacant, would that be a good time to talk about funding for the position and what kind of assignment it is and how COVID might have changed some things? Might be a good opportunity to talk about that. And then the very next day, the mayor wrote me back and said, sure, let's put the library as a topic on the August 3rd agenda. And then on the 20th, I wrote to the mayor and said, great, let's talk about the library funding on the August 3rd. And then all of a sudden there was, somebody decided to post something that somebody on the council, certainly wasn't me, proposed eliminating the position. And there's all sorts of letter writing that I'm sure you've all been reading and going on. But my question is mostly for the council about, do we want to, you know, take a moment and think about the long-term implications of hiring, refilling the position immediately with, and it's basically the positions and duties are set up as requiring a 2019 or early 2020 level of funding, which we don't have. And so do we want to look at, you know, take an opportunity to look at, are we doing our library service according to what our people want us to be doing? And, you know, if we don't have the money to pay for the full salary, do we want to adjust that somehow? Or you know, maybe, my take has always been that whatever the people in the community want to pay for and sustain, that's what we should help them have. And who knows, if we put out some kind of a survey, are we going to find out? Much of the comments in the letters this last couple of days has been about, you know, what a great job Bree and Jen have done in tuning up a library service that's of critical importance to the town and to many people. And for all I know, people are going to come back and say, we should have two library positions instead of one that's job shared. Or, you know, it seems as time is going by, it's turning more into a direction of having two different job descriptions. And what do we want to do? What does the town want us to do about that? And I reminded people in the note that I sent out that last year we promised people that when we were going to make decisions that had long-term financial implications, that we would actively reach out to ask the community what they wanted us to do. And not only that, but we also passed a resolution to say that we want to commit to being responsible financial managers and start to work on pivoting away from deficit spending budget to one that's more self-sustaining and not quite so reliant on possibly disappearing government sources. So I thought, you know, innocently enough, that this might be a good time to talk about that, because I would like to find out, has the council members, have you changed your minds about those two resolutions that we passed about managing the budget in relation to the tax revenue and income? Or have you changed your minds about wanting to ask the community as a whole what they want us to do before making long-term financial commitments? Or is this something that only seems to be of concern to me? Now, one last note, in the note that the present librarian Jen Gardner sent, she indicated that for her, it would be something of a hardship to try to move forward into what's going to happen next with the library service without having a second person there. And so I just wanted to see if the council wanted to take a moment and maybe put together a quickie work group to try to figure out, do we want to make any changes before we hire somebody, or do we just want to jump in and hire somebody and assume that they're, you know, COVID never happened and hasn't changed anything and we should just barrel along? So that's what I had hoped to have maybe on the table to talk about a little bit, and I'd love to hear from the other council members.
Council members, any reaction to Susan's suggestions? Go ahead, Joe.
I'm not hearing you if you've called on me, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I think what Susan is suggesting is prudent, and now is a good time to take a look at it. Also, give the community more time to for their feedback in regards to the position itself. I know we've had a flood of emails here recently. It seems like kind of a community panic that the position will not be filled. I don't think that has been the suggestion at all, but because of our financial crunch, because of COVID, we don't know what the future holds, and we might have to cut back. But now's the time to look at it, not later, because we have a window of time to actually look at it.
Okay, Joe Vanderzanden, go ahead.
In the interest of easing the load on Jen, I wondered if it would make sense to go ahead and fill the position on a very part-time basis, with the understanding that both the hours and the job description might get tweaked once we had a chance to look into it further.
Okay, Mike Taylor.
I don't see that filling the position now is any conflict with our financial strategy, including the discussions that we've had in the past and the resolutions that set our general policy for budgeting and so forth. We need to fill the position. We need to provide the service. And I think it's important, if we're going to evaluate any possible changes that may flow out of the experience with COVID, that we should have the new person on staff and working with Jen to give us recommendations on that. I'm not in favor of any delay, and I believe the administration should proceed immediately to fill the position. Thanks.
Brittany, go ahead, your hand's up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would urge us to move forward with hiring this position and not postpone it, let alone eliminate it. I really feel that both positions are critical in order for the library to operate smoothly, and to suggest that we are expecting only one employee to perform those tasks, I think, is unfair as well as unrealistic. I also think that waiting to discuss this until after the position had closed and the applicants had been received was inappropriate. Thank you.
We lost you there at the end, Brittany.
Sorry, my connection's a little bit spotty. What did you guys last hear?
Yeah, Brittany, you said something about you disagreed with discussing this after the application period closed.
Oh, thank you. I just said that I think waiting to discuss this until the applicants had already been received and the job had closed was inappropriate.
Okay, thank you, Brittany. Shelley, you have your hand.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate Susan's fiscal prudence and thoughtful approach to the city government and its functions, but I agree particularly with Brittany and Mike that this doesn't seem to be I don't think that there's an inconsistency between filling the position and evaluating the duties. I mean, I think we can go ahead with both of those. And also, it seems the timing to have a gap in service seems to be pretty critical right now, particularly since we need to have Bree available to train a new person in the duty. So I too support having the position filled, and we can certainly without having the pressure of a gap in the administrative position to evaluate that the duties of that position as well as others in the community here in the city. Thanks.
Okay. I authorized this to be advertised and filled for a reason because I think it needs to be filled. It's on the approved organizational charts. We had an opportunity to have a bit of transition between the new person and Bree. Bree graciously volunteered to help with transitioning with this new person coming on board. I don't want to lose that opportunity. It's very rare in government that we get a chance to have a transition for important jobs like this librarian position. Also, the question of whether we hire and what kind of library you want in the future, those are two independent questions. I think we can hire that person, get them on board, and get them doing the job, and then we can spend some time maybe strategically looking at the kind of library this community wants and how we fund it and how we make that happen. Those are two independent questions and two independent lines of work. And I do support the idea of strategically looking at the library and figuring out how to improve services and how to pay for that. I support that. And it should be done with the existing library advisory group. There's already an advisory group of the public that helps the library do these kinds of things. And I think Jen and Bree and the new person would be well positioned to help make that happen. And to the extent that we can get interested council members on board with that group to maybe look at some ideas for the future, that would be great, and I support that. But I do support filling that job immediately, and I intend to fill it immediately and continue the hiring process this week as soon as we can to get it back on track. I don't hear enough support for me not doing that. And so at this point, I'm going to proceed. So if there's anything else to be said on this subject, I guess we could.
Mr. Mayor, did you want me to continue?
Yes, Tom, I would like you to continue with this hiring committee. I think Mike will be your council representative on that. And we will get that position filled as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you. The hiring committee is scheduled to meet on Thursday.
Did you take me off of the hiring committee intentionally? I asked to be put on the hiring committee on July 6th. Oh, okay. All right. So be it.
Susan, if you want to talk about this off the record, we can. I invite you to give me a call at home or whatever, and we can talk about this. But yeah, my decision is made. Mike will be the committee representative.
This is Councilman Clark. Is there any reason that we can't have two people on that hiring committee?
Joe, are you proposing that we have two? Are you interested?
No, I'm not personally, but Susan has expressed an interest. Seems like she's been arbitrarily removed. I see no reason why she shouldn't be able to take a gander at it.
Tom, just a quick question. How many people are on the hiring committee right now? It's you, Jen, and a council.
Yeah, myself, Jen, and council member Taylor.
Okay, I'm going to have to do some talking with some folks, and I'll get back to you with a decision on who on the hiring committee will be tomorrow morning, Tom. Joe, I'm taking that you want to nominate Susan to be on that.
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'll take that under advisement along with some other comments I've received.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we are on to consent agenda number 7. There's going to be several items on consent agenda. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Tom. I cut you off.
Yeah, I apologize. Since we put the draft out, I had a couple other items popped up. And if you would indulge me, I'll go ahead and proceed with that. The next item I had to do with the Cooperative Resource Management Agreement, the CRMA. Council members Owen and Taylor have been working on a draft to submit to Department of Natural Resources with some amendments to the CRMA. And I was going to turn this over to Councilmember Taylor to explain what they're looking at doing and answer any questions, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor and Mr. City Administrator. yes, Shelley and I worked, and actually Tom also, on doing a somewhat cleaned up and slightly re-edited version of the CRMA that keeping all of the policy and intent and so forth of the one that we, of the version that we looked at late last winter when the council called on us to work with DNR to come up with a new CRMA. And so we just did some editing to just clean up and reorganize the language in a few places, added a little bit of history on the beach committee or the group of beach advocates that had been missing in the original version. And mostly just worked to make it flow a little better so that we had a document that we could go to DNR with, to be easy for them to work with and represent the wishes of the community. So you have a version, it was track changes version, I think, that got sent out with some final edits. And just today, I took that version and just didn't accept all on track changes, and it to Ben DeBoer, asking him to review it to make sure that we hadn't missed anything that might be in conflict with the covenants in the quieting title. And I very quickly got a response back from him saying that asking for a couple of days to review it. He's in his finals for his nursing exams, and but he'll be able to look at it, he said, by Thursday, and would be back in Gustavus on Friday. So so the plan right now is once we were sure that that he's happy with, as the key neighbor here, that he's happy with it, then we would move on to addressing it with DNR and let them know what we'd like to do. Oh, one other item is still pending too. Whitney Rapp is doing a new map for it that clearly identifies the things that are in our CRMA, that such as the boundaries and so forth, that weren't entirely described properly the first time around. So so we'll have a new map to go with it, and this new text. So we'll address that with DNR. Once we have that map, that'll be the next step. So that's the latest on that.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Are there any questions for Mike? Oh, Joe Vanders.
Yeah, I've been reading through this, and from my understanding, this whole thing is based on the 2016 survey, where something like 80% of the people expressed their appreciation for Gustavus's scenic beauty and pristine environment. But I didn't see any way that all of these changes can be interpreted as the collective desire of the people for man-made additions to the beach down there. I'm mainly was focusing on the paragraph or two of building and other structures. I know it's been stated more than once in our meetings that the state really doesn't care about all these details that we might want to do. They just are concerned that Gustavus is in agreement about it with each other, and I don't see any way that that's possible with all these things. And the way it's written, under trails, it says they may be developed, but under building and other structures, it's the way it's written, it's these things are all planned and they're going to happen, and I don't see any reason for that whole thing to even be in there. I'd like to see it taken out. Also, it says there's a small privately operated camping area located in North Beach. I think it should be started. So lumber.
And the ability to adjust and do what the community wants. None of these things are what you probably noticed that the wording actually is pretty careful in that it says we may do things. And in fact, I think that's something that an idea that we picked up from you, Joe, that rather than saying we would do things, we in most cases where we've said we've changed that to may so that we've got flexibility to do them. I don't think that there is support for doing much in the way of structures. People are even concerned about us, you know, maybe putting in too many picnic tables. So I think we're going to have to be, as we implement the CRMA, we've got the authority to make those decisions going forward in future years, even based on what the community thinks is necessary and what they'd like for the beach park. But my interpretation of the feedback we've got at this point is to keep those things pretty. I should just have used. Stavis and DNR, then we'll bring it back to the council, and the council would have a, you know, a final write-off or say on it before the mayor signs it. So that's kind of how it would move, go forward. It looks like Shelley maybe has some comments too, and she can probably think of things to answer that I didn't. Thanks.
Okay, Joe V, you had a follow-up there.
Oh, yes. The section on trails that was changed to maybe develop, but I didn't see anything in building and other structures that suggested that they may. It said that there will be attractive fencing and bollards and this and that, and the fire pit will be further developed. So if it has to stay in there, I'd like to see that wording changed so that somebody doesn't come back in the future and say, well, we already agreed on this and we're going to do it. So. Thank you.
Okay, Shelley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, this is to respond to Joe's comments. The language about the, it actually was under access, I think, an access section. I'm sorry. Yeah, buildings and structures was in the original document that was signed, so it hasn't been changed. That was existing language. That wasn't a new addition.
Joe Clark, go ahead.
Is there anything prohibiting us from putting may in there, where even though it's existing verbiage in the original document? Seems like it gives us more leeway.
Well, this is Cal. I would think that since this is proposed edits to the existing CRMA that we're going to give to DNR, that if we wish to make that change, I suppose we...
You cut off again, Cal.
Oh, I'm sorry. Since this is our edits that we're proposing to DNR to changes to the existing CRMA, if we want to change that, I think...
You cut off again right when you were making your main point.
I'm sorry. We have an unstable connection here, I guess, because of the rain. But no, yeah, I think we can make that change. We can make we can request any changes we want. We're requesting these changes, these edits to the CRMA. So if we want to change.
This is Councilman Clark. I think that may is better than will, and that those changes should be made.
Go ahead, Mike.
Mr. Mayor, I support that. I have no objection to making that May. That's really the kind of intent that we have, that this be a document that gives us clear management authority over the beach park lands. And we anticipate that there will be changes in what the community wants from time to time. And we need flexibility to be able to work, you know, to manage going forward in a way that serves the public the best. And I like, I'm happy to make that change in, you know, with when we, before we go to DNR with it.
Okay, I think we've got what we need for CRMA unless folks have anything else. Okay, Tom, you said there was one more thing you wanted to discuss?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. So I spoke with the principal at Gustavus School earlier today. They have had interest in using the gymnasium for recreational activities. And Dr. King was asking what the city's position was in terms of being able to have that type of activity. And of course, I referenced our resolution, but I don't know that satisfies his question. And I didn't want to speak for the council. So Dr. King is on the line this evening and is looking for any comments or direction by the council for using the school gymnasium for recreational activities. Perhaps if the council has any comments or questions, they could address Dr. King directly.
Brittany, go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Brad. Is this related to school activity functions or community or both?
Hi, Brittany. This has mostly to do with the requests I've had for non-school recreational activities with groups such as athletic groups that want to participate in the gym, and also birthday parties and things that we've done in the past. That's mostly what the requests have been up to this point. Thank you.
I don't know if I've been called on, but I'm going to go ahead and give my two bits. I think that the principal should have the leeway to move forward with those kind of requests as long as he's meeting all the all the requirements that have been set forth by the city and open it up.
Shelley, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't agree unless we have some form of contract or something with the individuals assuring us that they will be keeping social distancing and wearing masks. I think we need to do a lot more work on this before we start having congregate groups and settings and the gym. I'm concerned about it. We have an agreement form with the sport fishing, charter fishing groups and lodges, and I think we should probably follow that model for any other group activities to assure us that that there isn't going to be transmission of COVID.
Brittany, go ahead.
Thank you. I agree with Shelley. I'm not quite comfortable opening up that space unless we spend some time putting procedures into place. Thank you.
Any other council comments? Okay, I'm kind of with Brittany on this. If we do open that up, I do think we have to ensure that the distancing is being done, and again, I don't know how you social distance during a basketball game or those kind of things. Those are all really complicated questions we have to think about and see how this works, but I do want to ensure that we're following social distancing and wearing masks when we can't maintain the 6-foot distance and that sort of thing. As far as athletic activities in there, I'm no expert. I'm no epidemiologist or any of that. And I would imagine we'd have to follow the advice of the medical professionals, on that kind of stuff. So I'm not in the spot to say, yeah, go ahead, open up, let's do it. At the same time, I don't want to say, yeah, it's closed forever, but I just think we have to be smart about how we do open. Sorry, Joe Clark.
If Mr. King could put forth a mitigation plan, would the council be willing to take a second look at that?
Yeah, Joe, I think that's kind of what we're asking for, just kind of a plan, a well-thought-out plan about how that could be opened safely and providing for the safety of the participants and that sort of thing. I think it's just a reasonable request, Tom, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. I would also include that the school district will be participating in athletic activities this year. Dr. King might be able to speak to this more accurately, but I would imagine that includes not only our teams traveling to other communities, but other communities traveling to Gustavus for athletic events. So I'm not sure if that affects the way the council feels about residents using the facility for recreation. I just wasn't sure if the council was aware about the district's athletic plans for this year. Thank you.
Go ahead, Britton.
Thanks for that information, Tom. I wasn't aware that athletic teams would be in use. Definitely didn't know that they'd be traveling. That makes my feeling that much stronger about the idea of not opening up that space to the general public. I really don't think that, I think that would make it a heck of a lot harder to practice social distancing and keeping that space clean.
Okay, is there any more points for Tom and Mr. King to ponder before they come back to us with something else? Okay, Tom, is there anything else? Is there anything else you need from?
No, Mayor, thank you. Thank you, Ken.
Okay, we are now on to number 7, our consent agenda. There's several things on there. Some introductions for some NCOs, transfers for the Amulet CARES account, Engine 27 property sale, and introduction of our capital projects funding. I guess what I wanted to do was make sure that all those are okay with council members for putting on consent agenda. The specific question I had was the one that I was going to ask about was the introduction of the capital projects funding. Maybe folks want to have that as a new business so it can be discussed fully in front of the public, or whether you just want to since it's just an introduction, or since it's an introduction anyway, and it will be take up public hearing in September, whether you're okay with that. So anyway, it's just, I just wanted to check with everybody to make sure they had no questions on any of that stuff. It's all in your packets. And then also to check with y'all if you're okay with leaving the capital projects in the consent agenda. So, council, any questions? Susan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would favor putting the capital projects as a new business item. Thank you, to be introduced.
Okay, we will do that. Karen's. So everybody is okay. Is it okay to be on the consent agenda for the approved amended scoping project for the library roof and the building repair, and then the RFP issuing the RFP. You're okay with that being on consent agenda as well? Okay, so if there's no objections, then we're going to go ahead and put the item F and G, leave that on consent agenda. That'll be the scoping for the library roof and the building repair, and then issuing the RFP for that. Okay, we'll have three ordinances for public hearing as well. Those are NCOs that we introduced last time, and we'll be taking public hearing on all those and approving those. It's the annual shuffling of road maintenance funds, and then contributing to our repair and replacement AMLIPS fund. So any questions on those? Going on down to the new business section, again, we'll have the introduction of the capital projects funding there. We'll also have changed the endowment funds permissible investments. If you remember last meeting, folks were interested in allowing our endowment fund to take a little bit more risk to maintain distributions at their current level. This introduction would be the necessary changes to 4.13.070, our endowment fund permissible investments. A copy of that ordinance is included in the packet. So is there any questions on that or anything, any discussion on that that we want to have now? Phoebe is here in the case we want to discuss her. Okay, no questions on the proposed changes to the endowment fund investments. Okay, and also under new business we'll have to have a motion to move the work session from the 7th to the 14th and the general meeting from September 14th to the 21st in honor of the Labor Day holiday. So we'll be doing that. So that brings us to our table, and I guess what's that? Oh, okay. That brings us to our table of ongoing topics, and we'll be working down that list right now. So here we go. Karen, do you want to lead us through?
Can you hear me now? Thank you. Okay, so the first few things on here, looks like the first three things for sure are just placeholders, so they don't fall off the table. The strategic plan, are we gonna continue working on that? What are we doing?
Okay, council discussion on what we're going to do about strategic plan. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, we put a lot of time into this so far, and I think we've made good progress in the past. I kind of hate to see it just drop, so I'm willing to keep spending time on it if the others are. I guess that probably means another Zoom meeting or something like the meetings we had in the past.
Any other council comment? I too don't want to see it go away. We spent a lot of time working on it, a couple of different councils now, trying to get it done. I'm thinking maybe perhaps Tom and I can get together and see where we're at and kind of come up with another draft for us to look at and maybe ruminate over, and we'll maybe put together another Zoom meeting. Susan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I'm not in favor of going ahead with a strategic plan if the council isn't willing to talk about how we're going to fund what we want to do. So I would be more inclined to wait till October to bring it forward to the next council to see where they want to go with it, rather than with us trying to make something up and you know, just to close it. Thank you.
Let's move on.
Okay. I think that really the next ones are federal highway funds for the trails. Did Mike and Shelley go anywhere with that from our last meeting?
Can you mute?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I think this is something we need to work on as we can. Of course, the COVID thing has sort of gotten in the way of many of the things we've been trying to do. I'd look forward to maybe having a meeting offline with Shelley on this. The only thing I've done recently is I've had a nice long phone conversation with Bruce McDonough about a possible ATV trail system somewhere. And he's forming a group of advocates. See if he can get together a group that is willing to work on this sort of thing. And if so, I've agreed to help them with the process work. It's not something that we've got to do immediately, but that little piece is at least has a start to it. And other than that, I've just been trying to find some time now and then to do a little research on trails and so forth. So that's about all I've managed to do at this point.
And Shelley, are you still up for working with Mike on this as time allows?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I guess I will just leave it on there as it is then. And I'm not sure what's happening with the Economic Stabilization Task Force, the next item on the list.
Go ahead, Susan.
I think I heard you calling me, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. It was made apparent to me that I really should give a report on some of the continuing threads from that effort. So I will prepare an Economic Stabilization Task Force report for August and submit it by 10 a.m. on Wednesday for the packet. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Susan. I added that to the agenda then. And there's something, I guess Vice Mayor Cannamore has some information about food security during pandemic, root cellar and canned salmon. I was asked to put that on this list.
Mr. Mayor, do you want me to go ahead and speak on that?
Yeah, go ahead, Brittany.
Okay, thank you. You can hear me, right?
Yes, we can hear.
Okay, sorry, I'm just having some technical issues. So hopefully the council got a chance to look over my report on the salmon, the canned salmon that I found. So I'm recommending that if we want to move ahead with purchasing some of this with the CARES Act money, that we purchase it from a company in Juneau called Alaska Seafood Company, and they offer free shipping, and we can choose from a variety of different types of canned fish, different sizes. So I guess I'm looking for direction. I'm happy to maybe work with the mayor and Tom and Phoebe, or if there were any suggestions from the council on how to move ahead with this, I guess I'd be happy to hear that. And then if we want to discuss that now, and then I can talk about the status of the root cellar.
Joe Clark, go ahead.
I think you should move ahead with that, Brittany. It's a great idea.
Susan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, aren't these, Brittany, weren't these projects that were potential for CARES Act funding? Should they be in the CARES Act funding discussion? Thank you.
Yes, that's why I'm asking for direction.
Well, what I heard earlier was that Tom was looking for some more ideas of how to spend the CARES Act money that we have, that we do have, so that we can get our next round of $125,000. Sounds like purchasing some canned salmon for our food programs sounds like a way we might be able to do that. And it sounds like there's support for doing this food security thing. So is there any objections are there any objections to having Brittany pursue this further with Tom and me and Phoebe and trying to make this. It doesn't sound like there's any objections. So Brittany, let's work on that and see what we can do to make that happen.
Okay, great. Susan, go ahead. Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry, I don't have the CARES Act spreadsheet in front of me. What amount did we allocate to this?
I don't know that we did allocate any a set amount of money. That's why I suggested working with Phoebe.
Okay, yeah, I guess the project is identified in the spreadsheet, but we haven't put any money on it yet for it. Susan, go ahead.
I might have missed it. Are we going to have another CARES Act funding meeting or not?
Well, I think we will need another meeting just because we're running out of projects and stuff to spend money on. And here we are, we haven't even got our second payment. We haven't even come up with enough money for our second payment yet. So maybe we will have to have another meeting, but I think what Brittany is wanting right now is just a go ahead from us to start figuring out how much it's going to cost and how much we're going to get and how it's going to get here and figure out some more of the details. I heard Joe say that he thought it was a good idea and we should proceed. I think it's a good idea and we should proceed. If we want to give, if the council wants to give a figure for Brittany to work around, we can do that too, I guess. Joe Clark, I see your hand up. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, thank you. I feel the same way about the root cellar too. I think that's an integral part of food security for the community. Canned salmon's a good idea. If we can put some figures on it, and especially if it's can fall under the CARES funds, that would be a great thing. And if we have to have another meeting, let's have another meeting.
Brittany, go ahead.
I just saw that Susan put her hand up too, but I was wondering if I could speak a little bit on the root cellar. But I'm wondering now if Susan has questions about the food.
Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, real quickly, thank you. I don't have any objections to Brittany going ahead and putting some details together. I would like to have us approach spending CARES Act funding in a coordinated rather than ad hoc fashion. So again, I would support us having a meeting to talk about it as a whole. Thank you.
Okay, Brittany. Go ahead and finish up with your report on the root cellar, and then we'll continue.
Okay, thank you. My apologies to the council for not getting a root cellar report to you before this packet was put together. I didn't quite have all the information ready, but I've been sort of piecemealing things together because it's a little bit unclear. So the Arete project, which is located in the Good River neighborhood along with the Gustavus Community Center and some folks from the community gardens. Judy Brakel and Janine Driscoll have been working kind of collaboratively on getting a root cellar structure put up. And currently, it's a Con-X style, so it's similar to the one that's at the Sunnyside. I believe it's also the same size, just to give you an idea of it. Currently, that is in Gustavus. It's at Elm's property, and there has been so far $6,000 of grant money that the Arete project has put forward for that. Sean Nielsen from the Gustavus Community Center just applied for a grant. I'm not sure of the amount. The whole grant was for a few different things, but partially for the root cellar. And after speaking with an employee of the Arete project, they suggested, I essentially asked how much would be helpful for the city to put forward from the CARES Act money. And they said $3,000 to $5,000. And total, it sounds like to get the root cellar installed with electricity, it's going to be roughly around $12,000. So they have about half the money right now before the potential GCC grant. So, that's one of the sort of holdups. The other is that there's no formal group that would like to take ownership of the root cellar. And Judy Brakel and I have been talking about this quite a bit, and she put forth an idea of potentially the city becoming the quote-unquote owner, and then maybe having an agreement with future users. I know that there are a number of people that have expressed serious interest in using the root cellar in the future. So maybe putting together some sort of agreement of management and having, you know, two administrative people to handle all the day-to-day stuff with it. I guess I'm looking for direction on if this is something that the city would like to pursue, either just putting forth some money or putting forth more effort of actually taking some ownership of this cellar.
Mike Taylor.
I think the root cellar is a great idea. It's since it's on city property at the garden. Yes, I think the city should own it and be responsible for it. Thanks.
Sorry, I may have misspoken. I'm not sure, but it's going to be on the community center property, not the garden.
Thanks for the clarification there. Maybe I just missed that earlier.
Well, it sounds like there's general support for pursuing the idea of a community root cellar. I guess the details still need to be worked out. Maybe we can just, when we do, I'm hearing that we do need to schedule another work session on the CARES Act funding. And so maybe we can have a more in-depth discussion about this when we get to CARES Act money again. So any other comments or questions for Brittany on the food security? Okay. Karen, I guess the last thing on here is the DHSS request. It was signed to me for an update. And I guess I can just do that real quick. I believe you all the council should have received a copy of the letter that went to DHSS for on the 14th of July, I think was the date on that. Considering that the Department of the DHSS has now had that for probably 10 working days now, I wouldn't expect a letter back from them yet, considering that it probably has to go through, I'm pretty sure that it would have to go through the Attorney General's office for a final clearance. And knowing the way government works, Attorney General's offices usually don't act that fast. So we're waiting for a response. It's, like I said, it's been 10, they've had it now for 10 business days. And we'll see what happens.
Mr. Mayor, thanks for pushing that forward. I sort of gathered from the last news conference he had that we pretty much have that authority. Did you guys interpret that differently? Or it sounds like they want to give communities like ours the authority to do most things like that, as long as we don't interfere with critical infrastructure and that sort of thing. Which we wouldn't. So maybe it's a moot question, but how did you interpret that? Thanks.
Mike, I want to see something in writing, really. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. Just to cover us, I would like to see something in writing back from them instead of just a news conference. In a news release or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, it's just, that makes sense to me. I wasn't suggesting that you know, it was. It just sounded like we would probably get a positive response, I guess, is the way I was interpreting it. Thanks.
Well, I would hope so. I would hope they would be supportive of their communities, but we'll see. And like I said, I want to see something in writing from them, you know. But anyway, yeah, thanks. Okay, anything else for the good of the order? Okay, we stand adjourned. Thanks for hanging. Oh, sorry, hands are up. I saw Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can I ask, did you write a letter to the Juneau mayor in support of Juneau upping their testing response capacity?
I was working with Mike on that. He was going to get me some more information on who it wasn't so much to the mayor that I was interested in writing to. I was interested in writing to whoever the mayor was writing to support the mayor of Juneau's request. And we're still trying to figure out where that request is. Mike, I saw your hand go up. Did you have to add?
Yeah, with regard to that first, Juneau has not responded. You know, I had written originally to the mayor when that first came up, got the mayor over there, and got no response. I also followed up with somebody that Travis said was more directly the contact for that, got nothing back, an email from him. And Travis, when he and I discussed it, Travis thinks it's pretty much a dead issue. He says there doesn't seem to be anything in the news about it. As far as he can detect, Juneau's not really doing anything about it. So that does suggest that, you know, if they're not going to set up a lab, that unless CERCH is able to ramp up their testing capacity, that we're going to have some pretty long delays on getting sample results, which is unfortunate if we're trying to use sampling to detect quickly whether we have COVID in the community. But that said, we also aren't getting a very big response on the asymptomatic testing on Saturdays either. So it could be that we're not doing our part as a community to go out and get tested. But the other thing, what I'd actually raised my hand for was just a quick heads up. Mayor Kell and Tom, you may know more about this than I do. I had a brief meeting out on Dolly Varden on a road issue with Ponch and Justin, and they mentioned that when the airport project happens, coming up fairly soon, I guess, they're going to be hauling all of their gravel and asphalt materials and everything from one of the barge ramps out Wilson Road to the place at the north end of the runway, northwest end of the runway. And they're going to stage all that stuff out there on 20 acres or some such that they're clearing. That's going to be an awful lot of traffic on Wilson Road. So that's something for us to have some concern about. And we're going to have to stay on them and ask them to do road maintenance during that period, because that traffic's going to beat the road pretty bad. So I don't know whether you guys have had any, you may know much more about that than I do. What do you know about it? Anything?
I'm not aware of anything, Mike. I have not spoken to DOT about their plans for delivering materials and using large trucks going down Wilson Road, but I certainly can contact them and work through Jeff Jarvis to find out what they're looking to do and if it's going to impact our roads, getting some type of either maintenance in kind or some monetary contribution to offset the cost of us doing those, doing that road maintenance and repair.
Thanks, Tom. I think that'd be wise for us to look to touch base with them and make sure they're addressing any safety considerations for all that truck traffic. There's an awful lot of tons of asphalt and gravel and so forth that's apparently going to have to go out that road. So that there are traffic safety issues as well along there that they should be addressing. So thanks for looking into it.
Okay, I saw Travis's hands up, and he's had it up for a while, so I need to recognize Travis real quick. It probably has to do with the testing stuff. Go ahead, Travis.
Yep, you guessed right. I just wanted to add that I'm not discrediting Juneau trying. We did communicate with their incident commander there and got their librarian, I guess, is who was actually in charge of following up and getting the testing that part of the scenario for Juneau going. We did get a follow-up email, and then we never got anything after that. They did state that they were kind of still interested in looking at it, but like I said, we haven't heard after that. But I do know that with part of this asymptomatic testing that people should take advantage of, start again on August 8th at 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. at the clinic. The CERCH in Sitka is getting a Panther is what they call it, that can test 335 or 365 tests per day on top of what they're already doing within that clinic. But most labs within the inside of hospitals are now all able to run at least a few tests per day of COVID samples. So the need for big labs all over the place isn't really a high priority, I don't think. And I think at the last speech the governor said, or at my emergency management meeting, they said that they are pretty well established with their testing capabilities. Once all the machines are operating at full capacity, they've been having some.
Unfortunately, we lost Travis. Travis, the last of your comments were cut off.
Any idea what the last thing I said was?
Off for everybody.
Oh, well, basically I said, basically I was saying that the search thing or the testing capability in Southeast Alaska has taken off since Juno initially put out the call in the news in early May about getting more a central lab system. All labs in at hospitals can test for COVID at this point. Most of them just can't do it at high capabilities. But with this grant that Search is doing for their asymptomatic testing, that you see the flyer of, they'll be able to have a machine that can do between 330 and 360 tests per day on top of what they're already doing in Sitka. And either in one of my last meetings, they said that the state is at a pretty good spot in their testing capabilities when all of their machines are running at 100%. They've just been having a few breakdowns as of lately. That's all I had summarized.
Susan, you had some?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, just a quick question for Travis. Do you have an update on how long it's going to be before Search and Sitka is going to be able to get that Panther machine? I got the impression from Lisa that it was under an Indian Health Service grant and that it was going to be quite some time before that was obtained. Do you have an update on how long that's going to take? Thanks.
I don't have that answer for you, but I will reach out to my Search PIO contact tomorrow morning and see what the status is on that for you.
Thank you.
Okay, if there is nothing else, we stand adjourned. Okay, thanks everybody. Good night, have a good evening.